Good morning and welcome to worship at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We are grateful for your presence, all of you who are with us in person, and all of you who are joining us online. We have just a few announcements this morning, mostly about fun things that are coming up. Toward the end of August, we're going to have our annual school supplies drive for Davis Townsend Elementary School. I bring this up in case you're out and about and you see notebooks or pencils or some other kind of school supplies on sales. I never pay full price for anything unless I absolutely have to. So just, oh, Kim says you can go to Goodwill and get a backpack. That's exactly right. Also, something very fun, our yearly tradition of Christmas in July is next Sunday. So I hope you've got your red and your green or your fun Christmas shirts ready to go. It is always a very joyful Sunday, and I'm already thinking about my sermon, so I'm excited for next Sunday as well. If you'd like to help us decorate for Christmas of July here in the sanctuary, bring your Christmas decorations at 10 o'clock on Saturday. Our church council is meeting after worship to have some conversation with Pastor Cassie Overcash, who is not only a dear friend of mine, but she is assistant to the bishop here in the North Carolina Synod. She's going to help us think about some of our core values so that we can begin to make some updates to our Constitution and begin to think about some strategic planning for the future. This is really exciting for me because as long as I've been here, 4.5 years now, we've had to do so many things that are focused on the present and surviving the pandemic and getting through other things. And now we are able to get some things off the back burner and begin to think more about the future and how we can live into who God is calling us to be. So I'm very excited. Agape is meeting tomorrow night at Italiano's Pizzeria, and Worship and Music Committee is meeting this Friday. Wanted to update you all on our dear Dottie Curry. As you know, Dottie has been going through radiation treatments and has finished up those, and she's been in the hospital the last couple of weeks. And I'm heartbroken to tell you that Dottie has gone home under the care of hospice. She is at peace, and she's ready to see Jesus and be with Bill. But it is heartbreaking for her family and all of us because, truthfully, 93 years with Dottie Curry in the world is just not enough. I think Dottie would appreciate visits. I think she would appreciate cards. And so if you would like to visit or send her a card, please do so. We have a couple prayer shawls this morning. Our pal Sawyer, his G-paw, and his nanny had an accident this week, and nanny ended up having to have surgery, right? And so we want to bless these and pray for Doug and Nancy Martin. God, we thank you for the gift of prayer, that you always hear us, whether we come to you with words, with achings of our hearts, or with tears rolling down our cheeks. Thank you that you hold all of our tears in your love and in your hands. We ask that you would bless these prayer shawls just as you would bless Doug and Nancy, especially Nancy as she recovers from the fall and from her surgery. And that you would bless these prayer shawls so that as they feel the weight of these upon their shoulders or upon their lap, that they would feel the weight of the love and care we have for them here at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. In Jesus' name, amen. And we have a few birthdays this week. Brody Fritz, Kathy Conrad, Sharon Everhart, and Lori Conrad. And celebrating their anniversary today, Neil and Terry Clark. And remembering their baptism this week, Tracy Everhart, Stephanie Hearn, and Paul Conrad. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. As you are able. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Baptized into Christ, let us confess our sin. Merciful God, you free us to love others, but we neglect our neighbors and follow our own way. You lead us by the Spirit of joy and peace, but we turn away from the abundant life you offer. You surround us with patience, kindness, and generosity, but we grow weary in doing what is right. In your mercy, forgive us. Do not give up on us. Heal us, break our bonds, and show us the path of life. Amen. You belong to Christ Jesus, and you are God's children through faith. In the cross of Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit, your sins are forgiven. Clothed with Christ, you are a new creation. Amen.
Thank you.
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Eternal God, you draw near to us in Christ, and you make yourself our guest. Amid the cares of our lives, make us attentive to your presence, that we may treasure your word above all else. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated, and I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. And Kate already spotted something. Do you want to help me carry that bag over here? Do you want to come over here, Brantley? I have something special to show you today. Okay. Good morning, Maddie. Good morning, Kate. Good morning, Cameron. Good morning, Trevor. Good morning, Sawyer. Do you want to sit by? Sawyer, will you come? Oh, that's good over there. Good morning, everybody. Well, you know how we just sang in our Kyrie that we want God to have mercy on our work and our play? Well, one of the things that you all remind me about and our whole church family is that there's so much joy to be had in everything. And so I want to show you something that I've been wanting to make for you all for a long time. And it is bringing me so much joy. Who does this look like? Does it look like somebody you know? No? Are you sure? Does it look like me? It does look like me. I made a little bitty Pastor Anna because I thought she could help us with children's sermons, and you could take her to children's church, and she could hang out with you in children's church. And so she's got her collar on, and she's got some bracelets. This one says PA, because sometimes some of you make me bracelets that say Pastor Anna, and she's got glasses and earrings. Well, she's got something else that we can put on her. Will you help me put some things on her, Maddie? She has an alb, just like me when I lead worship, and this means that I am baptized, just like all of you. Do you want to help me? Do you want Mom to help you? That's okay, we can put it on. Just like me, we'll have to take our glasses off, because otherwise they'll fall down when she puts her alb on. She's got her alb on. We'll put her glasses back on so she can see. Can you hold her for me for a minute, Kate? Because we have a couple more things to put on her. She has a cincture, which is the rope that goes around her waist. And she has a cross, because I wear a cross in worship, and so does the assisting minister. I'm not sure if that'll go overhead. I might have to do the clasp. And she has a green stole because it's the season after Pentecost. It's ordinary time. And the green reminds us that we are to grow in God's love and grace. So what do you think? Does she look like she's ready to help lead worship?
No.
No? What else does she need? Her hair needs to be cut. Yeah, it is a little bit longer than mine. But otherwise, I think she's ready to lead worship. And she's ready to have some fun with you guys. So she'll be here for our children's sermon next Sunday. But if you want to take her to children's church today, you can do that too. Well, you want to pray with me before you go? Good morning, God.
Good morning, God.
Thank you for today.
Thank you for our
church.
And thank you for each other.
Thank you for bringing joy to our lives in big and little ways. And for the gift of play. We love you, God. In your name, we pray and play. Amen. Well, thank you for coming up this morning. Will you take little bitty PA with you?
The Old Testament lesson is from the 18th chapter of Genesis. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring a little bread that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly three measures of choice flour, knead it, and make cakes." Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant, who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set it before them. He stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, "Where is your wife Sarah?" And he said, "There in the tent." Then one said, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son." Word of God, Word of Life. Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I brought a piece of art from my office to share with you this morning. It's a modern take on the icon that's on the front cover of your bulletin that was painted in the 15th century by Andrei Rublev. This is an icon of the Holy Trinity, and I keep it near my desk as a reminder that God makes appearances in human lives, that God finds and surprises us like a guest or a friend when we least expect it. This icon is based on the story from Genesis 18 that Kim read just a few minutes ago. Interestingly enough, in religious art or iconography, it's a major faux pas to paint God the Father, the first person of the Trinity, and the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, because they aren't humans, and they don't have physical human bodies. Jesus became human, and so of course it's appropriate for artists to try and image him in their work. And sometimes the Holy Spirit is depicted with tongues of fire or a dove, but even those are just images or metaphors, not an actual depiction of the Holy Spirit. And so, since God the Father and the Holy Spirit don't actually have physical bodies, to create one would constantly misinterpret and misunderstand who God the Father and God the Holy Spirit are. But there is one exception. The art created of the three persons who visit Sarah and Abraham in Genesis 18. The story begins about noon. It was the middle of the day, the hottest part of the day, and so there weren't many people out and about. Sarah and Abraham are going about a very ordinary day, I imagine. And three visitors show up at their tent. Now, interestingly enough, in these verses, more detail is provided on the preparations for the meal that Abraham offers them than on the actual three visitors. But we know as readers that in this story, those three visitors are actually God. God showed up to Abraham, but he doesn't know it quite yet. But even though he doesn't know that quite yet, he still offers abundant hospitality to these strangers. The story tells us that instead of waiting for them to get to his tent, he runs out to greet them. He brings them water to wash their feet. He invites them to rest and renew themselves under the shade of a tree. He doesn't just give them a morsel of food like he tells them he would. He offers them a lavish feast with the finest flour used and the choicest of calves that he himself picked out. This is a lovely story, and we can't quite tell in English, but in the Hebrew there is a lot of shifting of language from plural verbs and singular verbs, which basically for us means that there is one Lord and three persons in these guests. One Lord and at the same time three persons. And so, the icon on the cover of our bulletin depicts the story of the Trinity assuming human flesh just for a brief moment, visiting Abraham and Sarah. This painting is commonly called the Holy Trinity, but an alternative title for it is the Hospitality of Abraham. Abraham offered extravagant hospitality to these divine strangers. And there are so many things I love about this story. God appears without a parade or without fanfare. Very simply, the Holy Trinity just shows up for lunch. The Trinity showed up for Abraham and Sarah in a very ordinary way, in the everydayness of their lives. And so this story reminds me that God makes appearances in human lives and that God finds and surprises us like a guest and a friend when we often least expect it. And I think it's safe to say that we would all like to think that we ourselves are like Abraham. That if God showed up for lunch, that we too would offer extravagant hospitality. Certainly we would offer rest and the finest of feasts to God. And this got me to thinking about a quote from Martin Luther in one of his Christmas sermons, actually. Luther says, "There are many of you who think to yourselves," and this is the Christmas story, "if only I had been there, how quick I would have been to help with the baby. I would have washed his linen. How happy I would have been to go with the shepherds to see the Lord lying in the manger." Yes, you would say that. You would say that because you know how great Christ is. But if you had been there at that time, you would have done no better than the people of Bethlehem. Why don't you do it now? You have Christ in your neighbor, Luther says. You ought to serve them for what you do to your neighbor in need. You do to the Lord Christ himself. Why don't we do it now? We have Christ in our neighbor. Instead of thinking so highly of ourselves that we would have offered hospitality to God just like Abraham did, why don't we do it now? We have Christ in our neighbor. And how many of our neighbors are in need? Maybe not of water to wash their feet, but of water to drink. How many of our neighbors are in need of nourishment and food? How many are in need of rest? how many of our neighbors are in need of the dignity and the love and the care that they are worthy of because they are created in the image of God, just like every single human being who has ever been created. Why don't we do it now? We have Christ in our neighbor. Last week, we looked at the story of the merciful Samaritan, right? The lawyer wanted to know how he could earn eternal life. And so Jesus said to him, "What is the greatest commandment?" And the lawyer said, "You're to love the Lord your God with all your heart and your mind and your soul and your strength, and you are to love your neighbor as yourself." But the lawyer, who is maybe a little more like us than we would like to think, wants to ask Jesus, "But who is my neighbor?" And I really think what the lawyer was getting at was, who isn't our neighbor? Right? Who are the ones that we can just walk right by, that we can hide our eyes from, who we can ignore, who we can swipe past on our phone, who we can turn the channel on our TV? Who are the neighbors that aren't our neighbors so that we don't have to help them or care about them, and so that we won't feel so much guilt or remorse when we don't? Who are the ones we don't have to show hospitality to? Well, Jesus' words didn't offer any justification to the lawyer, and they don't to us either, because instead he points out our selfishness and our pride and our prejudice. And he does so by telling the story of the merciful Samaritan, which basically outlines that the only qualification for a neighbor is someone who is suffering, someone who is vulnerable, someone who is in need. Brothers and sisters, our televisions, our phones, our news feeds are filled with people who are suffering and vulnerable and in need. And not just on our phones and our televisions, but in our communities. So why don't we do it now? Why don't we offer hospitality to our neighbors now? Because Christ is in our neighbor. And Luther says you ought to serve them, for what you do to your neighbor in need, you do to the Lord Christ himself. This sounds a lot like Jesus in Matthew 25, right? Where he's calling his people to clothe the naked and to feed the hungry and to visit those in prison. And he says, when you do this to the least of these, you do it to me. But when you don't do it to the least of these, you don't do it to me. And so when we don't feed the hungry, and when we don't clothe the naked, when we don't care for the poor and the suffering and vulnerable, we aren't caring for Christ either, because Christ is in our neighbor. When we don't offer hospitality to our neighbor, then we don't offer hospitality to God. Why don't you do it now? Christ is in our neighbor. And so, yes, dear ones, God does make appearances in human lives, and God finds ways to surprise us like a guest and a friend, often when we least expect it. And that means that Jesus shows up in our neighbors, that God, the image of God that every child of God has on them, everyone who's ever been created has on them, that is in our neighbor. And so why don't we show them hospitality now? because Christ is in our neighbor. And so just as the Trinity showed up for lunch at Abraham and Sarah's that day long ago, every Sunday the Trinity shows up at this table as we come forward to receive the body and blood of Christ. And at this table, Jesus offers us his very body and blood so that we can become his body as we are sent out into the world to be the body of Christ, to embody the love and the grace and the mercy of God, to offer the same hospitality to others that God has always offered to us. And so let us be awake and alert, because Christ is in every single human that you will ever meet, in every single human that you will see on the television, in every single human on your social media news feed. And Christ is in all of the faceless and nameless people all over the world that we will never know. But they are still our neighbor, and we are still called to love them as we love ourselves. Amen. Will you go tell Anna the
Living together in hope and trust, let us confess our faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Drawn into the embrace of the Holy Spirit, we lift our prayers for the wholeness of the church, the world, and all creation. Inspire your church, like Sarah and Mary, to listen with eager longing for your words of life. Equip biblical interpreters, translators, and teachers with faithful discernment that your word may be more fully known. God of grace, hear our prayer. Every creature under the earth has been promised the hope of the gospel. From that promise, generate in humankind an eagerness to protect and care for our creation. Bring healing to the earth with your words of life. God of grace, hear our prayer. Peel away the distractions, worries, and fears of all who govern the nations of the world. May your word of love and life dispel all other voices. Provide gracious hospitality in places where hostile forces hold sway. God of grace, hear our prayer. Speak your word of comfort to any who suffer pain, illness, grief, depression, or despair, especially Paul and Carolina, Bobby and Jana, John, Janine, Eddie, Pam, Dottie, Bobby, the family of Scott Black, Bob, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. God of grace, hear our prayer. Enliven and uphold all siblings in Christ who strive to provide hospitality and safe spaces where everyone, without exception, can receive and be transformed by your word of life. God of grace, hear our prayer. For Abraham, Sarah, Hagar, Mary, Martha, and all the saints who attend to your word, especially the family of Tommy Hunt and the family of Odell Hedrick, we give thanks. Open our ears to your voice until that day when we realize the promise of the gospel with all creation. God of grace, hear our prayers.
Gather all our prayers in your mercy, O God, through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. I invite you to share the peace of Christ with one another.
Seated in the tree, no trees, round in the earth, right on this day. How do I say it wasn't the same? God, I said it wasn't the same. Counting the dead, it's shattered. We shall embrace the sudden day. Not in the joy of the service, not since I'm at I wind you so away. Here in this pain, I wind you to shame me. Not in the day that now is the day. Gather our sin and hold us forever. Gather our sin and bring us home. Gather our sin and hold us. Why am I the special board?
Creator God, in your wisdom, you bring forth all that is good, and the harvest is plentiful. Strengthen us at your table with these gifts of the earth and our labor, that we may work for the good of all, through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. All praise to you, glorious God of grace. Throughout the ages, you have blessed us with foremothers of the faith. With Sarah, we bless you for your gift of life. With Ruth, we praise you for family and food. With Miriam, we celebrate our escape from the foe. Remembering Deborah, we honor the words of your prophets. Remembering the woman at the well, we laud you for living water. Remembering Junia, we thank you for those who minister among your people. One with the daughter of Jairus, we wake to life in you. With Mary, we magnify your name. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Remembering Martha and Mary, we join Jesus at this meal. Living, he healed the bleeding woman. Dying, he cared for his mother, and risen, he sent Mary Magdalene in mission. On the night before he died, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant shed in my blood for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." With Mary, again, we magnify your name. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Mighty God of mercy, as you heard the prayers of Hannah, so now hear us. Send your spirit on the bread and wine, that sharing the body and blood of Christ, we become his body in the world. Send your spirit on this assembly, that like Phoebe, we serve one another with zeal. And send your spirit on the church, that like Anna, we tell others of your mercy. Send your spirit into our hearts, that like Dorcas, we care for the poor and needy. All praise to you, powerful God of peace. We adore you, our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you who mother and feed us and comfort us, today, tomorrow, and forever. Amen.
gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The kingdom of God is set before you. Eat and rejoice.
Thank you.
for the table blessing. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray together. Mothering God, you gathered us to your table, and we drank deeply of your grace. Send us out by your Spirit to love our neighbors as ourselves, and proclaim your love in Jesus' name. Amen.
The love of God abound in you. The grace of our Savior Jesus Christ fill your hearts, and the life of the Spirit bless you and give you peace. Amen.
Let us say together our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Peace. We, Body Spirit.